Jesus, your King, the power.
And it's good to give unto the Lord. What did Jesus say? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Amen. And so let's be a blessing tonight and give back to the Lord. And I'm going to have Jed lead us in this prayer. Yes. Amen. Yes. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Stand one more time. Turn to page 333. Cleanse me. 333.
Our message tonight, Nehemiah chapter 8, and we are preaching about revival that was brought through the Word of God. Amen. The power of the Word to bring revival. I think we're having a little bit of a meltdown pray about that. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 8, we did begin last week looking at this revival. And we talked about the need to read and understand God's Word. You know, God can't work in us if we do not read and understand His Word. Amen? And I think that's where Nehemiah was so conscious of that. He brought Ezra the scribe. We remember Ezra, how that God used him in the book of Ezra. Amen? And it was amazing what God did there. And now he's coming back. And nice. Isn't this going to be a daily? It's like a daily problem here. I can't see that on my screen, but I can see it. It won't exit. I understand what you're saying, sister. It's just not working. There we go. Let's try this again. Amen. Amen. All right, we're not going to go back through the introduction, but I do want to begin by looking at the first eight verses again, then we'll kind of walk through the passage for sake of time, because it's a long chapter and many verses to preach on. And let me just go by way of introduction, verses 1 to 8, and we'll get into the message tonight. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all they could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Amen. Before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Aiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Masiah, and on the right hand and on his left hand Pediah and Mishael, Malchiah, Hashem and Hashbadana, Zechariah and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen. Amen. With the lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebathai, Hodijah, Messiah, Kalida, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law, they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we just come to you tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to open the scriptures. We pray, Father, for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the Word of God that we hold in our hands, the inspired, authoritative, preserved Word of God that you've blessed us with. And tonight, Father, we want to hear from you. We know it's through the power and work of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a mental exercise. It's a spiritual exercise. And we need your working in our midst. We need you to speak to hearts as the Word of God is open tonight. And Father, we pray, if there be anyone in our midst that is not saved, does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that you will touch their hearts tonight and bring them to true repentance and faith in Christ. Father, we just thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you that revival comes from you. Revival comes from the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, and it comes through the Word of God, and we know how important the Word of God is in our lives. So help us tonight to have a touch of revival. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To have spiritual revival, we must constantly read and understand the Word of God. And nothing is going to happen in your life if you're not in the Bible, if you're not reading the Word of God. In fact, if you're not understanding the Word of God. 6 times it mentions understanding in this chapter here. 6 times how important it is to understand what you're reading. Amen? And then we see that the Word of God must be authoritatively and clearly preached and taught. That's what Ezra did. They read in the law of God distinctly. They gave the sense. They caused people to understand. This is how God can work in our midst. You remember Ezra? He brought the book. He stood on a wooden platform, a pulpit. He opened the book. Amen. He blessed the God of the book. As he was opening the book, and the people blessed God, amen. They read and explained in the Word of God. But one of the most important things that we find in verses 1 and through 7 is this. The people reverently and attentively listen to God's Word. You know, that's something that we ought to build in our church, building our young people and our children. When you come into the house of the Lord, you're to be attentive and reverent before the Lord. Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Amen. And Jesus said, "Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have." We better be attentive, amen? What if the Lord takes away that which you seem to have? What's going to be left, amen? So take heed how you hear. They were reverent before the Lord. Remember, they stood up when the Word of God was opened. And I think of how they attentively listened. Can you imagine 6 hours on your feet listening to the Word of God? They didn't do that just once. They came back. We're going to see they spent the whole week in the Word of God. Amen. It was a revival. It was a revival. So secondly, this is where we're at tonight. Verses 9 to 12. We'll continue in our reading and begin unfolding here. To have revival, we must rejoice in the Word. Amen. Not only just read it, are you rejoicing in God's Word? Are you receiving it in such a way that you are rejoicing? Amen? I hope you can do that. Look what it says here in verses 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levite that taught the people, said unto the people, "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Then he said unto them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Hold your peace, for this day is holy. Neither be ye grieved.
And all the people went their way to eat and to drink, to send portions, to make great mirth, because they understood the words that were declared unto them. Amen? To have revival, we must rejoice in the Word of God. I like it. Psalm 119 has several verses, but it says this: I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Amen. The Word of God is a great treasure, and you should be rejoicing when you receive the Word of God. But I think there's three responses here, and I find this in this chapter, in this portion of Scripture, that we ought to also experience. I think, first of all, there's conviction. Amen. There was conviction. That's why the people were mourning and weeping. There was cleansing. Amen. The Word of God has a powerful, we'll see in the rest of the chapter, there was cleansing here. But then there was celebration. That's the joy. So I think when you hear the Word of God, God will work in you, but He wants to bring you to that place of joy, that place of celebration in the Word of God, because really, we'll see at the end of the chapter, they obeyed the Word of God. Amen. They obeyed the Word of God. How is it when you read the Bible? There was conviction. I think they mourned. And the reason they're mourning here is because they realize their disobedience. You know, the Word of God is a lamp. It's a mirror. We look into the Word of God and we see where we are falling short, where we are failing God. Amen. In fact, the Bible says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You get it in the Bible, the deeper you go, the more you're going to see, I need to get right with God. I need to change my life. I'm falling short of God's glory. I need some things to change. The law can't save us. Don't think that the Bible can save you. The law of the Old Testament can save you. And that's where a lot of people err today. The Bible says that the law convicts us of our sin, and it brings us to Christ. The law convinces us that we need Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen? And so it will point us to Christ. That is the law of God. And they were in the law. They were reading the law. And the law was working. And they understood their failures and their shortcomings. So that first response, I guess I didn't, here it is. The second response was cleansing. The same word, amen, that brings conviction to us, which leads to repentance. What is that? God wants to cleanse us. God wants to forgive us. God wants to bring joy in our life. Amen. The same word that wounds is the same word that heals. And I'm thankful for that. We know that in this chapter, I believe what they were reading, verses 13 to 18 is going to tell us a little more about that. But they realized that they needed to observe the Day of Atonement. Amen. And they also should be rejoicing in His forgiveness. And then you have the Feast of the Tabernacles that follows the Day of Atonement as it speaks in the Word of God. I believe it's in Leviticus 23. And so after that, there was an entire week where the people were also to be rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. So the same word that wounds is the same word that heals. If you are faithfully in the Word of God, there's going to be conviction. There's going to be cleansing. I think of what Jeremiah said. He said, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. It's the Word of God that brings joy. It's the Word of God that brings rejoicing, because it does bring conviction and cleansing. Amen. We need the Word of God. And then there's celebration. This is that joy. So they were assisted by the Levites, we see here, that they were to read. They caused the people to understand. They were reading in the Word of God. And we find that Nehemiah is telling them, no, stop mourning here. Stop mourning. He says in verse 9, in the middle of the verse, says, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat, to drink, to send portions, to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. They understood the words. What happens when you are forgiven? How should you feel? When you are forgiven, you have no reason to mourn. Amen. You should have reason to rejoice. And we know this, just like the book of Nehemiah, all of God's children carry burdens. They had their burdens, didn't they? They knew what it was to weep. They knew what it was to suffer. But we also have the power in us, and we should have the power in us, to transform that sorrow into joy. And that's what makes us different than anyone else. Amen? We could see God's power transform sorrow into joy. I think of they were understanding the Word of God, and I want you to understand the place of faith here. Faith. The secret of Christian joy is to believe what God says in His Word. To believe it and act upon it. That's faith. Faith that is not based on the Word of God. Like people say, I have faith, but they don't even know the Bible. They don't read the Bible. You've met people like that. Faith that is not based on the Word of God is not faith at all. What it is presumption and superstition. Superstition. Many people say, I have faith in God, but they don't know anything about the Bible. That's not real faith. That's superstition. That's presuming to know something about God, but you don't know Him through His Word. And so joy that isn't the result of faith, true faith in God's Word, is just a good feeling. It's not the joy of the Lord. And you know what happens? It will disappear quickly. See that? If it's not based on God's Word, that good feeling will disappear. However, when we have true faith based on God's Word and what He says, when we're in the Word of God, when we're understanding the Word of God, then we have joy that will weather the storms of life. And that's what they're getting at here, brethren. Don't you see in verse 10? Then he said, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. You think about what this world offers. You may get happy for the moment, but you won't have joy. In fact, what the world produces in us is artificial. Amen. It's temporary. And the sad thing is, the things in this world that people think, no, this is true happiness, this is true joy. Do you know what happens? The moment that they're over, they just leave you weaker and emptier. But not the Lord's joy. The Lord's joy is your strength. The The Lord's joy is what carries you through. And I think of the Lord's joy. It comes from the Lord, the joy of the Lord. Don't forget that. You need to know Him if you're going to have it. But it's real, it's lasting, and it enriches our lives. God doesn't give us joy instead of sorrow. Don't remember this here. God doesn't give us joy instead of sorrow. God doesn't give us joy in spite of sorrow. But God gives us joy in the midst of sorrow. In the midst of sorrow. It's not a substitution. It's a transformation. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What happens? How do we look at God's Word? Do we study it as a treasure? Amen. Do we look into God's Word as something we need to read in, meditate, dig, like we would be digging for treasures and gold and silver? And when we find these treasures in God's Word, what should we do? This is where it's so practical to understand what's going on here. They literally were getting into the Word of God. They were understanding the Word of God. Yes, the Word of God was bringing conviction, but it brought cleansing. And then it brought joy. And this should be what we as children of God experience daily when we're in the Bible. Daily. We need this. Psalm 19:8 says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Psalm 119:111, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." Now, how do we read the Bible? Do we read the Bible as something that's a duty to us, a sense of duty? Or is it a true delight to us? I realize that you may have to begin being disciplined in the Bible study for yourself. And at first it may seem like a duty. But you know what God will do? God will work in your heart. He'll take over and you'll be delighting in God's Word. It'll be something that if you miss it that day, you're like, man, something is missing in my life. And it's because you didn't spend time in God's Word. This is what God wants. This is what God will do in us. This is the power of the Word of God. This is the power of God's Word to bring revival and renewal and refreshing to God's people. Psalm 112:1 says, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments." We could delight in them greatly. How about the blessed man of Psalm 1? "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night." Let me ask you tonight, do you delight in God's Word? Study Psalm 119. Would you rather have God's Word than your food? Would you rather have God's Word than your sleep? Would you rather have God's Word than wealth? Read Psalm 119. I could list about 10 different verses that speak to that very subject. That it's more necessary than our food. It's more than our sleep. It's something that we need more than sleep. And it's something that's more, it's wealthier than any treasure or gold or silver that we can have. It's the Word of God. Do you know that if you delight in God's Word, God will delight in you and give you blessings. God will delight in you. Brethren, this is what it's saying. These people were truly experiencing how the effects of God's Word, the power of God's Word, and then they started responding in a biblical way, and God began to work in them. And when He said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength," they began to experience joy. Amen? It's real. Number three, to have revival, we must respond in obedience to God's word. It's not just enough to read it and understand it. It's not just enough just to rejoice, amen, just to receive and rejoice. We must now put it into practice. We must go out and obey it. Look at verses 13 all the way down to the end of the chapter. Now, that was the first day, amen. You see, verses 1 to 12 speak about the first day. Now, verse 13, and on the second day, amen, they came back for more, praise God. And on the second day, were they gathered together, the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord hath commanded by Moses. See that? When you dig, you'll find. Amen. When you search, you'll find. When you're open to read and study and understand, God will speak. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches and pine branches, myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth. Amen. And they brought them, they made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity, made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun, unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Do you see that? Because of obedience. Verse 18, also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And then on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. Unto the manner. Brethren, do you see what's going on in this chapter? I hope you could see. Because they had the right motive here. Do you see what they hungered for God's word? You know, a lot of times, and this is where I think we ought to be careful, it should not be a drudgery to come to God's house. It should not be like, oh, yeah, I got to go hear the word of God again, and, you know, I wish I could do other things, and it's so hard. No. It should be a delight. And I want you to know that when we begin to experience the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord becomes our strength, and we start looking at this as a delight, not a drudgery, amen, God will begin to work in us and bring revival. Matthew Henry was an old commentator, still written. He has a lot of good devotional thoughts in his commentaries that I would ascribe to him doctrinally, but devotionally. But he said this, holy joy will be oil in the wheels of our obedience. You see that? It all works together. God, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and the joy is that oil, amen, in the wheels of our obedience. Some people, though, they look at God's will and the Christian life as punishment. You know, it's going to be so hard and so difficult. But you know what? When you become joyful and become happy, God speaks to you, then God's will, as Jesus in John chapter 4, it became that which satisfied him. It became that which nourished him and sustained him, amen, as he was suffering here on earth. There was still a lot of work to do in the city. Don't get me wrong. These people were not just closing out with chapter 8. And this is it. It's over. And there's no more to do. And there's a great revival. And everyone's happy the rest of the book. It's not like that. But they needed God to work in them. They needed spiritual food. They needed revival. And they needed the joy of the Lord. And they needed the strength from that joy. It'll come when they have the right motive, amen? And that's what we're talking about here. Brethren, they really had a desire. They had the right motive. They had that joy. They wanted God to work. But not only that, you could see that they hungered for the word of God in verse 13 on to verse 15. What'd they do? They gathered themselves unto Ezra the scribe. All the people, brethren, the leaders. Do you see that? Chief of the fathers. It was the leaders, the priests, the Levites. They went to Ezra the scribe. They wanted more, amen? They wanted to understand. They came back the second day, amen? There was a yearning for God's word. And they couldn't stay away. They wanted more of God's teachings. They wanted more to understand more of what God wanted, how to build their families, how to build their lives, how to be productive, how to be fruitful. They wanted truly to know the Lord and know His word and know His will. There was a hunger here. They came back. Then they learned more of God's word. You know, when you come back, you'll learn. God has something for you. As I mentioned, I think it was last week, like, preachers can be boring at times. And so if I ever get to that place where you're being bored in the message, then what you should do is just read the passage and meditate and ask God to speak to you, and God will speak to you. Focus back on the Word of God. So here they're discovering this command to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles. And so now they're reading Leviticus 23. And the Day of Atonement was to be celebrated on the 10th day. And now the Feast of the Tabernacles on the 15th day of the month. And so they made this discovery on the second day of the month. So the timing was perfect. They had enough time to prepare to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles. They learned they were to live in these temporary booths or shelters for 7 days during the Feast of the Tabernacles. And they had to go out, you see, they had to go out and cut down the trees and the branches and make these booths. Amen. And they were temporary. They were for 7 days. And they did build them on the flat roofs of their house. They build them in the court of the temple of the Lord. So those that were in the city, and then you had people building them all around. And what was this to do? This is something we ought to think about. It was a time for looking back and remembering the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and how they were homeless God had to provide everything for them. So they had to look back and remember what God did and all the miracles of God. That's why they had to sit in there. And then they had to look around and see all the blessings from the hand of God, that God had given them a good land, that they should never forget the giver. Amen. Don't just look at the gifts. Remember the giver. God Himself blessing you with these gifts. They had to remember God. And then they had to look ahead. It was a time to look ahead for the glorious kingdom of God. Amen. Promised to the people. And so it was a week long. It was a joyful festival of praise and thanksgiving, focusing on the goodness of God. Wow, 7 days of just focusing on the Word of God. 7 days of focusing on the goodness of God and praising Him and thanking Him. Don't you think that would change our lives if we just spent that time? with the Lord. And then you notice they had to send food and gifts to other people that were needy. That's what it says. They were sending portions. Amen. They were sending out. They were helping. Brethren, it says in verse 17, the last part, and there was very great gladness. There was very great gladness. You see, when you obey God's word, not only hungering and learning, but they obey the word of God. What does it say in verse 16? So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, everyone on the roof of his house. And this is what was different. This is what God said. You know, we can read back in the times of Solomon and different times in the history. It wasn't like they never did this. We even read it in the book of Ezra. But what was the problem? It's like coming to church. We always do it. And we forget how special it really is. You see, this is what was different about this. That's why the Lord says, for since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. It wasn't the fact that they celebrated it. It was the fact, the way they celebrated it. And that's what should make the difference. You understand? You can come to church, but how are you coming to church? Why are you coming to church? And one thing that we notice here, everyone participated. Amen. Everyone upon the roof of his house. Everyone got involved. And God said, I'm going to bless you. There's going to be great gladness, very great gladness for obeying me. I like, not only did they sit there in these booths and remember all the past and the present and the future and meditate on the goodness of God. What did they do? It says in verse 18, and also day by day from the first and the last, he read in the book of the law of God. Amen. They went to hear the word of God every day. What a blessing. For the entire 7 days, brethren, they were instructed in God's word. And there was never a joy like they experienced. Never a revival like they experienced because of everyone being touched by the power of God, by the word of God, and everyone being obedient all at once. Amen. They were as one man there standing. United. What can God do in a church? Amen. When we're just so united around this purpose and understanding God's word and doing God's word, obeying God's word, and receiving joy from the Lord. You may want to ask, you know, this Bible conference, amen, I call it a Bible conference, 7 days in the Word of God, amen, 6 hours a day in the Word of God. They had an entire week, they were reading and explaining, and then there was joyful fellowship, there was feasting on God's Word, and there was a spiritual revival, we could see it here. But then, if you notice in the last verse, on the 18th, day, there was a solemn assembly according unto this manner. Do you know what? It came to an end. And the people had to go back to their daily schedule. They couldn't just stay in the Bible conference. They couldn't just stay in the revival meeting. They had to go back. And you wonder, did the blessings of revival last? You know, some people may argue, well, you know, we can have revival and it's great during the revival, but then I got to go back to work and I got to go back to my daily life and I got to go back to things as they were. You know what? Revival can last. And yes, the people did become careless again. And yes, they needed to come back to the Word of God again. Do you understand? Revival will happen. It doesn't mean you're going to live in revival the rest of your life. But God will bring you back and He'll revive you again. Amen. Through the power of the Word of God. You see, the failure of the people is not an argument against special times of Bible conference and revivals and Bible preaching. Someone asked Evangelist Billy Sunday if revivals lasted. And he replied, no, neither does a bath. But it's good to have one occasionally. Amen? Amen? And that's what revivals are. They may not last, but it's good to have them. It's good to experience. It's good to be in God's Word. It's good to experience the joy of the Lord and the power of God. We know that reading in the history of the church, there has been times when people have been burdened to pray and search the scriptures, confess their sins. And from doing this sincerely before God, He has seen fit to bring spiritual revival to the church and God's people in certain times of history. You see, the truth is God is the one who brings revival, and we look to Him to bring that revival. It happened in Nehemiah's day. It can happen again today. But here's the question. Can God begin with you? Amen. Can God begin with you? Let's stand, every head bowed, every eye closed.